Hi, everybody. My name is Janice. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Did y'all have a nice lunch? Well, for the recording, we're back in our afternoon session, and we've had a good rest. And did y'all get a little nap? I did. I did. I bring my traveling clock with me, and I set my alarm, and so I get me a little rest. Y'all had a nice lunch?
Yes.
The food's been really good, hasn't
yes.
it? Very pleased with all of that, those of you who planned the retreat. I want to say that abstinence is essential in my life. It's really the most, it's of utmost importance. But remember, I'm powered by gas. God, abstinence, and service. Okay, it's all of it. It's God first for me. But if I'm not abstinent, I'm not going to be able to hear the voice of God, and I'm not going to be able to tap into that inner resource of power that's so necessary. The second step is about believing that a power greater than ourselves, a spiritual power greater than ourselves, can restore us to sanity. And insanity, hope is the spiritual principle of that second step. And so insanity is when I lack the perception and things are out of proportion. And when we repeat the same mistakes over and over, expecting different results. That's insanity. In OA, we find hope that we can be restored to sanity and that we can become whole. The hope of step two follows the desperation of step one. It follows just as soon, sure as the dawn follows the dark. Okay? Because if I stay in that powerlessness, my life will just continue to be unmanageable and manageable and manageable. Okay, the word spiritual is in the first 164 pages 110 times. The reason why I'm so smart is because I have stuff that I got from an AA website. It tells you the number of times each word is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if y'all are interested in that, it's not OA approved, but it's very beneficial and very helpful, and I can give y'all that information. It also has a little world book. I used to sell world book encyclopedias. That's not a plug for world book or anything. I don't do it anymore. Sell it. But I read it. You know, it wasn't just the dictionary that I read. I read a lot in the encyclopedia also. And one of the things that I got when I first came into OA, we don't have it anymore, but this has Overeaters Anonymous written on it. It doesn't have the logo, but I got this piece of information when I first came, and I'm going to read it because this helped me a lot. It says, especially to newcomers, you think you are a stranger to us. You would be surprised to know how well we understand you. You are here because you are desperate. You have struggled with your weight problem perhaps for a few years, perhaps all your life. You've been to doctors, taken pills, found that they brought your weight down, and then it went back right back up again. Love. This mean. Probably you've tried many other things, psychiatrists, hypnosis, yeah, gyms, weight clubs, etc. Some of these things work for a little while, but they never work permanently. If they had, you wouldn't be here now. Now you're wondering, can this group really help me? Or will it be just another failure in a long list of failures? Please believe us. Our program can help you. Underline, if you'll let it. All you have to do is muster about enough self-discipline to obey a few simple rules. We can give you the keys that will open the door to a wonderful new life if you will use them. We're going to give you the answer to a question you've been asking yourself for years. Why do you overeat? Somebody asked me that question at lunch. And what can you do to stop it? You've believed all these years that you are a weak-willed person with no character. Perhaps other people have told you this. and you fail so miserably at controlling your appetite that you've come to think they're right. You've probably had people say, if you really wanted to lose weight, you could do it. How could you possibly explain to them how desperately much you wanted to overcome your weight problem? How you would rather have that necessary self-control than be given $1 million? How nothing is fun when you're fat and life often seems not worth living? How could you explain to them the agony of trying and failing over and over again, or perhaps losing some weight for a while only to gain it back again? No one can possibly understand all of this but one who has been through it. That is why we believe we can help you more than the doctors, the hypnosis, the gyms, and the psychiatrists, because we understand your problem. We've been there. We understand the agony, the frustration, the loneliness, the heartbreak. We've suffered the same things you have, and every one of us is with you. We want you to succeed in this program, and we know you can do it. You'll have our help in your effort, and most important, you'll have God's help. He has promised it to those who ask for it, and He never breaks His promises. So give us a chance. We found a way that has worked for us, not only to lose weight, but to keep it off. It will work for you if you'll just follow the rules. The first thing we ask you to do is to abstain completely from all refined sugars and our starches. Now, that was way back then when Gray Sheet was out, okay? That's not the way it is today. Also, we do have our Dignity of Choice pamphlet, and they do have that number 6 is similar to what Gray Sheet was. And they warn us in that pamphlet about starches and sugars. So I'm sure that this is why this piece of literature is still not available from Overeaters Anonymous. But it was available when I first came in, and it's valuable for me. It's valuable for me then, and it's valuable for me now. You know, there's a saying, it's not in the big book, but there's a saying that we need to keep the memory green. We need to keep the memory green. I believe that they're referring to the way we were before we came into Overeaters Anonymous. But for me, I need to keep the memory green of when I first came into OA. Because a lot of things have changed. A lot of things in the food preparation, the food preservatives, all of that has changed a lot in almost 32 years. And one day I was meditating and studying, and I'm going to share what I came to. In Bill's story, on page 12 of Bill's story, and he wrote that, and it's in italics, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend, talking about Abby, his friend Abby that had visited him. Would I have it? Of course I would. Thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want Him enough. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A whole new world came into view. And that's what happened to me on April the 4th, 1978, and all the days after that. A whole new world came into view. Bill goes on to say, the real significance of my experience in the cathedral. At the beginning of his stories, he talks about, you know, that experience he had in that cathedral and everything burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have Him with me, and He came. But soon the sense of His presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it has been since, how blind I have been. When I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, a whole new world came into view. But It was blotted out a lot of times by the world clamor of all the discussion about food and food plans and taking out the dignity, I mean the grace sheet, putting the dignity of choice in, taking that dignity of choice out, you know, putting back the dignity of choice in. It was a bunch of clamor about food and food plans and stuff like that. And so a lot of what happened to me when I first came into OA, it was blotted out. It was blotted out by all that clamor, you know. But I have to keep the memory green of when I first came into OA, because that's what worked for me, and that's what works for me today. Okay, so I'm not speaking for Overeaters Anonymous as a whole right here. You can take what you want, you can leave the rest, but I'm sharing my own personal experiences, and if it works for you, then use it, and if not, just discard it, okay? But there was the information on this page, on the back sheet of this page, that really started helping me at that time. It says that we compulsive eaters have a disease. It is an incurable disease. If we are willing to take certain steps, it can be controlled, but it cannot be cured. It is every bit as devastating and dangerous in its ways as diabetes or any other incurable disease. It can ruin health, cause untold unhappiness in its victims. We are foodaholics, compulsive overeaters. One uncontrollable bite leads us to the gluttony as surely as one drink by an alcoholic leads to another drink. Our disease consists of a mental obsession and a physical allergy. The physical aspect can be controlled by total abstinence from the addictive foods, refined sugars, or starches. However, because of something in our physical makeup different from the normal person, we cannot tolerate those foods. They set up an addictive reaction in our bodies, an irresistible craving for more and more, and we cannot stop. The resemblance to alcoholism is striking. This resemblance is no accident. Our illness may well be in the form of alcoholism. Here is a quote from Dr. Max Warmbrand in his book, Encyclopedia to Natural Health. This is what he wrote. How many are aware that under favorable circumstances, sugars and starches generate alcohol? There are many persons whose intestinal tract is a veritable still. A craving for sugars and breads in many cases is really a craving for alcohol. And it was this statement. I got my encyclopedia out and I started reading how they make alcohol. Do you know how they make alcohol? They combine sugar and what? Starches. They combine sugar and wheat. They combine sugar and potatoes. What else? Corn, barley, yeast, and all of this ferments. It ferments. Mm-hmm. And so this caused me to believe that my body is a still. And then when I put those kinds of things in my body, it ferments. It ferments and it creates that phenomenon of a craving. I believe this. That a whole new world of that was opened up for me when I first came into OA. And I still believe it today. I want all that clamor about food and food plans and all that. I want that out of my mind because that doesn't work for me. This is what had worked for me originally. I tried other things, it didn't work, and now I'm continuing to try to remember how it was when I first came in. Okay, just as the diabetic can never again indulge in certain foods, just as the alcoholic can never again taste alcohol, we also must give up those kinds of craving-creating foods. I'm just adding words here, okay? If we are to control our disease and rid ourselves of that ugly symptom, fat. But this isn't all. The other aspect of our disease is the mental obsession. For some reason, we compulsive overeaters have come to use food not as God intended to nourish our physical bodies, but as a tonic for every emotional discomfort, a pacifier when lonely or worried or nervous, an escape when we want to run away from reality, a hiding place when we want to hide from life. We all know that overeating will not solve our problems. It will only increase them. But we continue to use it because it momentarily dulls the pain of living. It is like taking an aspirin for a headache. It doesn't cure the headache, but it is, let's see, it's kind of getting old here. But it some of our desires to hurt for a while. The spiritual part of our program is designed to help you overcome this emotional obsession with food. What we must do is learn to stop turning to food as a solution to all our problems. This is essentially an immature, childish reaction, like a little child running to mommy for cookies or candy to comfort the pain of skint knees. If you have an unsatisfied emotional hunger in your life, stop trying to satisfy it with food. You can never do it, even if you eat for 1,000 years. When you are unhappy or nervous and life seems to be pressing in on you, tell yourself this: eating food that my body doesn't need is not going to solve this problem. It will only make it worse. I am not going to run away and hide from reality anymore. Life is very often painful and frustrating, but I must face it like a mature adult with courage and dignity. If I do this, God will give me strength to bear whatever I must bear, and I will be a stronger and a better person for it. That was very good information for me when I first came in. It's still very good information for me. Okay, let's go to the chapter of There Is a Solution, page 17. Bill's story is very, very... He talks a lot about faith. He talks about faith without works is dead. But first on page 16 at the end of Bill's story, I want to share a little bit about that. He says, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity. Lack of seriousness. That's what it means. But just underneath there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we look no further for a utopia. I often wondered what that meant, you know, so definitely I had to look it up. And it's a perfect ideal place, you know. And that's what I have found in OA. I have found this perfect ideal place for this disease that I suffer from, this mental and physical disease. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friends, simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to all men. You know, talking about that kitchen, you know, the kitchen was a central part of our house, not just for eating, but for sociability and just visiting and talking with each other and everything. And thinking about, if y'all looked at my pictures, that in the kitchen of Dr. Bob's house, you know, Bill, he lived with Bob for a good while after Bob got sober. And I went over there with my friend from Belgium and this guy, he was on the board of trustees, he's not now, but he took us to Dr. Bob's house. And, you know, I don't drink coffee, but they sat around and drank coffee around this table where Bill and Bob, in that kitchen where Bill and Bob had drank coffee so many times and probably so many other alcoholics. But, it's that widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill, you know, to all men. Well, the next page, 17, there is a solution, is a promise. That is a promise. And what I know is that I need to have fellowship with like-minded believers. This is important for me, that I fellowship with you people that believe in this program. And then once again, they give us that promise that they gave us on the title page of this book. They said that we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill, but nearly all have recovered. Promise. They have solved the drink problem. And it goes on to say that, you know, they were all average Americans. They probably were not people who wouldn't mix. I mean, you know, why would I be here in Ludwig, Texas? Ludwig. Yeah. I tell you, wow, what else?
I'm have a, they always forget what city they're in.
Yeah, oh, yeah. For the tape, they say politicians always forget what town they're in, a city they're in. Okay, but we usually, you know, we wouldn't mix, you know, on a Saturday afternoon on March the 6th, 2010. Why would we all be gathered here if it wasn't for this? For this whole new world that came into view for each one of us. Okay? But you know, there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indeed indescribably wonderful. And to me, that's how I feel about being here today. And then at the it talks about, you know, that we have, we all shared in this common peril. But, you know, that's only one element of the powerful cement that binds us. The fellowship is only one element of this, that we have to have the relationship with God. But they tell us that it was a tremendous fact here that every one of these thousands of men and women that they were talking about, they discovered this common solution. And they knew, they found out that they had a way out in which they could absolutely agree and upon which that they could join in brotherly and harmonious action. You know, there was something that Roseanne wrote. She wrote, I had copied it from that red book I talked about. I carry it in my original big book forever, but I'm going to read it from this book because it's reprinted here. It's that bond of brotherhood. She wrote, in assuming responsibility and sharing love and strength with one another, we create a bond between each of us. It can't be seen, but it can be felt in the heart. It's that bond of brotherhood between one overeater and another, which clearly says, I care. I put my hand in yours, and now you are not alone. And that came from our co-founder's hand. Roseanne is still living. We're sure hoping that she'll be at the 50th in Los Angeles at the end of August. Is any of y'all going to Los Angeles in August? Last of August. Okay. They believed that, you know, it was an illness of a sort. They came to believe that it was an illness. They're talking about these first, the tens, you know, tens of, the thousands of men and women. They realized that it involved those about in a way no other human sickness can. If a person had cancer, all are sorry for him and nobody's angry or hurt, but not so with the compulsive overeating illness. For with it there goes annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, sad wives and parents, everybody.